Hi, Diamonds, and welcome to today's episode of Diamond Insights with me, your host, Nalili Star. So in this episode, I want to talk about my 10-year plan, which has come to an end. So 10 years ago, when I was around 24 years old, that's when I kind of started out my family, but also I was getting done with my university. And I was just trying to put in place a plan to kind of guide me in the rest of my 20s, but also kind of get me started in my 30s. So I designed a 10-year plan. And during this episode, I want to talk a little bit about what has worked, what has not worked, where I'm at. But also, I just finished putting together my 6-year plan. It's really a 5-year plan. I'm just giving myself like that 1-year buffer to kind of like settle down, you know, adapt, adjust kind of thing. So really the plan that I have put in place right now is a plan that I am hoping that will take me to 40 years, because right now I'm like 35, I'm 34. Why am I trying to get myself too old? I'm 34 years old, and I'm just trying to see how I can navigate the rest of my 30s, make the most out of it, so that when I get to hit 40, and they say life begins at 40, babe, I better be starting my life at 40. Like, listen, I got plans. Like, for 40, I got plans, but I need to finish up the rest of my 30s. So that's what the plan is about. But I want to take you back to my 10-year plan. So I was 24. I just completed. I graduated from university. I remember I graduated in November. So it is at that point I went out for like celebratory drinks. I was alone. Yes, I know. I'm such a loner or whatever. But then I was just thinking to myself, you know, now that I'm done with university, at that point I was on a job. I had started working. It was like my first official job. My daughter was like 1 year something, 1 year, couple of months. And I was just thinking it would really be nice to just try and get a balance between all the different things that I really want to accomplish and maximize on in my life and just really know where I'm going. So that's where that came out from. And of course, I was not doing this alone. I was doing it with my bestie. So Ngosa also created a 10-year plan. I don't know how far she stuck to it or how far or whether she went back to it from time to time. We never really talked about it. We talked about it a lot, I think, when we were just, because I think we graduated almost at the same time for our masters. And I think we talked a little bit about it, but beyond that, never. But around the time that we're developing something, I remember that, you know, should be like my sounding board. I said, you know, I'm trying to accomplish this. Do you think that, you know, I'm stretching it a little bit too much? Is it something that is like realistic? You look at it and you think, okay, I think it is kind of realistic, because I didn't want to set myself up for failure. So I was going by 6 to 7 themes, the same ones that I have stuck to even now. And I know obviously a lot of people are like interested, like, okay, financially. So where was I at financially 10 years ago? I was doing business. I think at that time I was doing business. I was selling handbags. I was selling hair. Was there anything else that I was selling? I was very entrepreneurial at that time, because I was just getting out of, you know, university. When I was in university, I really wanted to just have that money, you know, to do a little boom, boom, bam. If I want to go for a movie, if I want to take my girls out for ice cream, for lunch, you know, the likes. In university, I hang out a lot with like the likes of Duff and my late friend Stella, may her soul rest in peace. I think even with her, the time that we're in university, you know, we kind of talked a lot about, you know, life after university, what would that look like? So maybe actually setting up this plan was kind of like a continuation of the conversations that I had with her. But financially, yeah, I wouldn't say that I was stable to a point where I would be able to take care of myself, but at least I had some sort of income in place. Also, around 24 years old, that's the time that I really started learning how to save. You know what I mean? Like when I was in uni, I had a Barclays account because at our campus, that's the only bank. No, there were two banks, but that was like the nearest. It was like near the library, just like at the bottom, at the basement of the library. So it was easy when you're going to the library. You know, if I have like 100 kwacha, I have like a 150, 200, or whatever, I'll just pass through and just, you know, deposit and then go about the rest of my day. Zanaco was a little bit far from me, so I had that bank. And also that's the time that I actually set up a savings account for my daughter. So I had a savings account for my first daughter, Lisely. I set it up because at some point I was buying her a lot of clothes, like, you know, the excitement of being a first-time mom, and it's a girl, and girl clothes, listen, they're nice to buy. They're nice to buy. Like, you can get the same dress in five different colors and you wouldn't even feel the pain. So at some point, I just started, I think we actually had a conversation at some point with her dad, where it was like, this girl has way too many clothes, but she keeps on wearing the same clothes. Because the situation that we had was, I had some favorites, her nanny had some favorites, her aunt who was helping me take care of her had some favorites. So there were some clothes that were nobody's favorite, that were not getting worn by the child. So I thought to myself, you know what, instead of buying clothes, literally I'd buy clothes almost every day for that girl. Like, if there's a child who I really dressed up, even just like her previous, like her pictures when she was like very young, they show that this girl was properly invested in when it comes to clothes. So I thought to myself, instead of buying her clothes every other day, maybe what I can do is I can just deposit the money into the account. At that point, you know, digital atwat was not so much. So Ecobank had like a child savings account. I don't know how they call it, you know, in the financial sector, but something like that, where it doesn't attract any maintenance charges, but also you actually gain interest like over a long period of time. You'll hear what happened to that account. So I started like depositing money into that account. Also faithful, so I had to like two accounts. So I had at that point I also had like my Zanaco. So my Zanaco was like, you know, the girls spending account. If I want to go like shopping, because we had like at that time the popping mall was like Manda Hill, so I'll go Manda Hill, I get whatever it is I want. I think at that point also that's the time that Mad Boutique was like coming up and whatnot, so it was like really hot and what, and I just wanted to like just feel good. So the other downside to that is that I had a lot of clothes in my wardrobe that I was not even wearing. Same situation with my eldest daughter. Like, I was not even wearing those things. And sometimes I'll just buy a thing because it looks nice on the mannequin. But when I go home and I put it on, I stand in front of the mirror. I'm like, this is not even my style. It doesn't even sit the way it sits on the mannequin. So that was kind of like my financial situation was when I was starting out. And I just really wanted to, like, you know, get straightened out. Like, what am I really doing with my finances? Like, 10 years from now, where do I really want to be? I had a job at that time, and I was just thinking, okay, part of the money, of course, I told myself I would always have to save. So I always had a buffer. Like, there was not a time in my life when I would sit and I don't have money saved up. And I was very proud of that. However, and this is going to jump into like the career. So career-wise, I told myself I was starting out. My first job was like receptionist. So I was a receptionist. I was unhappy about that, but I thought, you know, a lot of people told me, you know, you have to start from somewhere. So I started from somewhere. And then I got promoted. I think within like a month or two, they brought in somebody to sit at the reception desk. And then they just made me like an associate business consultant, where I would support the senior consultants and all that. And it was fun. It was cool. So we went on, and you know, I was still trying out my little things here and there. At that point, I think Kwashi, the housing project was coming up, the service loan. So initially, the popular one was like Minwood, and then Kwashi came up, and they were making a lot of noise. So I decided, okay, let me get a property with them. So from my finances, so I had like my little saving percentage. From there, I also had to figure out, like how I'm going to service the loan. No, it's not necessarily the loan, like the contribution for the plot, because like I had to pay for it like over 5 years. So I told myself, okay, I'm gonna put it into my 10-year plan and just, you know, figure it out. In the next 5 years, I'll be done and I'm going to have like a service plot. It wasn't my first plot, so I actually bought a plot when I was maybe like the previous year before I actually put in place my 10-year plan. So from that angle, the plan was how to develop that that plot. I wanted to put like flats there, me and my spouse, of course. And so life started happening, you know. For some reason, I just started slowing down on business. You know, like you have a paycheck. Sometimes I kind of felt like, you know, I don't need the extra cash. So I started really slowing down on the business aspect. And also a lot of factors changed because I would go to Tanzania, order things, because my husband would travel there to like pick up cars for people. And then at some point he was like, ah, no, this thing is not working for me. You know, the distance is too long and what. So when he started slowing down, automatically even me, I said, ah, you know, let me not continue. Of course, I traveled to Tanzania like alone, maybe like on two different occasions. And then after that, I was like, I don't even feel safe traveling all by myself. So I just decided, okay, let me just slow down, you know, with this business issue and just focus on work and just see how I'm going to manage that. Big mistake. Even up to now, I tell people I shouldn't have stopped that business. I should, because now even if I want to start, you know, the dynamics of business now has changed, especially with the digital space, you know, growing and becoming so popular. It has really changed to what it was back then when I was doing this business. But I feel like if I didn't stop, I was going to manage to evolve with whatever it is that was happening in the market. But now, like for me to start going back to my clients and, you know, I just feel like, oh God, I feel overwhelmed anyway, so to speak. So financially, that's where I was starting from. In terms of my family, at that point, I have one kid. My kid was like 1 year, maybe 1 year, 3, 4 months, somewhere there. And I told myself, you know what, give it some time. Give it some time. Don't rush into these things. Give it some time, and then see where it goes. So I really wanted to space out my kids because I was thinking to myself, okay, I've just, you know, I started early, so I don't need to like do bam 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 like a person who's, you know, older. So I told myself I'll give myself time. That was like on the family spectrum. So I wasn't in a hurry, but I told myself I need to finish whatever it is that I was doing because I had my first child when I was like 23. So I told myself, whatever it is that I do, I should not cross over 30. That was the plan in terms of, you know, family life, you know, childbearing and what. I just told myself, whatever it is that you do, make sure you don't cross over to 30. 30 is just now for just focusing on raising the kids. That was the plan. So that was on the family front. In terms of travel, I really wanted to travel, but you know, it was just not going the way that I had hoped for because I really wanted to travel like with my spouse. And then my spouse is not much of a traveler. You know, for him, he's like a workaholic. So it's like, okay, taking time away from like, you know, work to start traveling. It's not a much, it's not so much a priority for him as it is for me. We traveled, I think, as a family, maybe on like one occasion to Livingstone, and during that time I was actually pregnant with my second child. And I think, yes, we'd go like to the nearby districts, like a few, and it would just be like a day. You don't even like spend the night. No, when it was just me and him, would spend the night. But when the child came, it was like, okay, now we need to slow down. You know, we have the home and whatnot. So in terms of travel, I didn't do much, but I really, really wanted to travel. So in the beginning, in the beginning of that plan, I really couldn't just figure out, okay, Lord, how am I going to do this? And then, so I've talked about the financial start, the career really is, I think I haven't mentioned yet. So the career, what I really, really wanted with my career was I wanted to work for an NGO, like pure breed NGO. Plan, Comfed, you know, I had those on my list. I said I want to specialize in, you know, community work. Even if I did like adult education, coming to think of it, I should have really just done community development or, you know, development studies or something like that. But you know, at the time that I was getting into uni, I explained, I think, in one of my podcasts that I was just desperate, you know, to prove that I can actually get into a university. So at that point, it just felt like any course that would like land me a degree just to prove to myself, to counter the words that were spoken over my life, is fine. So, but when I think about it in retrospect, with the things that I really wanted to accomplish, like for my career, I should have really been thinking about, you know, those lines in terms of, you know, the courses that I should have pursued. But it happened. So I have like adult education degree and I'm okay with it. So in terms of the career, that is what I wanted. I wanted to work for an NGO, but also eventually I was hoping that towards the end of the plan, I was going to have my own NGO. That was like the big vision, to end up with my own NGO. And, you know, I even had like a project concept all written out, you know, the women, the children, you know, helping the communities and all that. That is what I really, really wanted. On the education front, what I really, really wanted, beyond having the degree, was to get a master's degree. You know, my previous person, before I got married, the person that I was dating, you know, would always tell me, you know, when you finish your degree, I'm going to sponsor you to do your master's. Before I do my master's, you must do your master's, you know, as my wife. At that point, that was his plan. I don't know, God had different plans. So it sunk into my heart, like, after my degree, definitely, I have to do my master's degree. That was like the big plan when it came to the education front. So I put that into my plan. I said, okay, one way or the other, I must do my master's. But then I thought, I'm going to do my master's like when I'm 31, because I wanted to focus on, you know, childbearing. Remember what I said? I said, I don't want to go over 30 when it comes to giving birth to my children. And in terms of the count, I already said I wanted three. Like, whether it's three girls or one girl, two boys, or whatever, two girls, one boy, whatever it is, the count was going to come down to three. I just wanted three. But also, I planned to have them before 30. I should get everyone out of my body and just start raising them, so that when I turn 31, I go and do my master's. As time went on, we started with our project, you know, like the building project. It started going on so well, but then it faced a lot of setbacks. Like, for years, nothing was even just happening there. It was like an abandoned project. It's like you've started and then you've abandoned. And there were just a lot of other things that were going on in the background. For example, like my work stopped being profitable, where you are working, but the salary is not forthcoming. So it was very difficult to even just plan in terms, like, financially. It was very, very difficult for me to plan. And remember, I had let go of my business. That's why I'm saying it was a very, very big mistake for me to stop doing that business. I should have continued with the business so that, you know, I am able to actually take care of myself in terms of, you know, income flow. So I didn't foresee that when I was stopping the business, but that is exactly what happened. So I couldn't even continue with, like, all planning for the development of the plot. But also, it became so difficult for me to even do the contributions to the other plot that I wanted. I was getting that plot specifically for my first daughter. I was thinking, okay, since I have a daughter, at least I should leave for her a house. Of course, I know that there was that other plot that I was planning flats on. But, you know, as the first daughter of my family, I just wanted to be able to set her up so that should anything happen to me, even as I have grown, they actually have a specific house that they can call a family home, where they can stay, all of them, and live. You know, everyone should just know, whatever it is that happens, our mother left us a roof, and that roof was in my daughter's name. But then I was obviously going to put the condition that, you know, she must allow her siblings to live in that house for as long as they need to, until the youngest is at least 40 and sorry 30 and they are able to take care of themselves. So that's what I really wanted. But all that fell through the cracks for like two to three years. Everything was just at a standstill, and I would look at my plan and I'll just cry. I think, like, I've experienced episodes of depression from time to time when I go through certain things in life, you know, just like any other person, but not to the point that, you know, I encountered it continuously
the way that I did, like for that period, like for a minimum of 2 years, so 2 years to 3 years, you know, where I would pray, where I would look around, where sometimes I would even go for an interview and it looks like, okay, this one definitely, it's your job. Like I remember going for an interview to a point where they told me, you know what, to just tell you the truth, you're the candidate that we want. We just need our international office to endorse you. And I waited. Good point. Good thing is I didn't even tell the employers where I was, where things were not working out, that I am going. I waited. I tried to call. They even stopped picking up my call. I think they even blocked me eventually. So you can imagine all that stress that I was going through. And meanwhile, I'm just looking. Time is ticking. Remember, it's 10-year plan. Time is ticking. And I'll just think, oh God, am I ever going to do this? Is it going to come through for me the way that it comes through for other people? It was so, so difficult. I had my spiritual goals, of course, you know, get close to God, read my Bible, get more involved at church. You know, at some point I even joined the choir. I really enjoyed that, being part of the choir. But you know, like, there were just a lot of things that were going on. At some point, I became so prayerful. I became so prayerful. And then, you know, when things were not going my way, I won't lie, I backslided. I couldn't even pray. I couldn't even read the word of God. I couldn't even just sing gospel music, like ordinary gospel song. I felt so abandoned. I felt so alone. My spiritual life just, it took a nosedive. I couldn't do anything. At some point, honestly speaking, my friends were just praying for me. Like, I'm so grateful for my friend, like Dorcas. Dorcas would just pray for me. Like Dorcas, you know, Teresa, those guys would just pray for me. They would encourage me, you know, don't give up on God. He has a plan for you. What? And I just didn't understand, like, Lord, I'm qualified. These jobs that I'm applying for, you know, I'm qualified. Look at the way things are. Everything. It just felt like everything was at a standstill. You know, at some point, like, the difference between my firstborn and my secondborn is like, I think 5 years. Yes, it should be like four or five years. During that time, I just told myself, I can't even start giving birth to a child right now. Like, what am I going to do with a child? My God, what am I going to do with a child? Like, I don't work. I know my husband supports the household. He doesn't complain. But, you know, I'll just feel like a burden. And I'll just feel like I'm adding to the burden of taking care of the household. Because kids are expensive. And I learned that with my first child. You know, diapers, milk, you know, health care, all these other things. It's expensive. And people will just tell you, when are you having another baby? When are you having another baby? They don't even take into consideration the financial implication of taking care of a baby. So I waited until at some point, you know, my husband just started saying, we're not having another child. Like, time has passed. You know what? Like, time has passed, you know? You don't want to have another child. So that's when I said, oh, okay. Since you have said that you want another child, that's how come I actually removed my contraception. And I got pregnant. Things were still slow. I gave birth to my baby. At that point, I think I gave birth to my second child when I was 20. I just turned maybe like 27 or 28, somewhere there. Because the difference between like my seconds and thirds, because it's like 1 year, I don't know, 1 year six. I told myself, this one, I am not moving. There is no way that I am going to give birth in my 30s. I'm like, if there's something that I should tick off on this list or on this plan, on this 10-year plan, is that I should successfully give birth to all my children under 30. So I even told my husband, when I was coming back from like delivering the child, like my son, I told him, listen, I'm not putting contraception. So if a baby comes, the baby comes. If the baby delays, the baby delays. But contraception, I'm not putting. Because I want to get over and done with this child's birth thing. He said, okay. I think less than, before my baby could even turn 1 year, I think I gave birth. No, I didn't give birth. I got pregnant. And I was expecting that baby. And then what happens? I get a breakthrough. So in December, like I remember that December, I was holding my baby. At that point, I wasn't yet pregnant with my third. I was holding my baby in the night, like he couldn't sleep, and something in my spirit just dropped and said, "Resign." I didn't even fight it. You know what I mean? I got my phone. I went to my emails. I sent the email. That was like almost midnight. I sent the email to my boss. I said, "Listen, starting this 2018." At that point, by the way, I had finished my master's. I'm skipping a lot of parts. I'd completed my master's, and I think that was the thing that was really weighing me down, that I have become more educated, because I started my master's 6 months after I graduated from my bachelor's. So immediately I graduated. I wanted to enroll for the January intake, but they told me no, we have already selected, people are going to be starting orientation next week, so you can't. But you apply and join the June intake, and that is exactly what I did. So whilst I was, struggling financially, with the pay, I just told myself, okay, at least let me do this. That peer pressure to do my master's degree came from my friend Chivoni. Chivoni was continuing her school to do, is it public health? So she was continuing, and I told myself, if she can continue on this very salary that is delaying, even me, I can proceed. Let me do it in advance. Whilst, because at that point, remember, I had given the childbirth on hold. It was on hold because of what was happening at work. But then I said, okay, at least let me push my education. So I started with my master's. So 2 years. By the time I was done, I graduated, I had given birth, because at that point, that's the time that my husband was asking me, like, are we not having another child? So I had enrolled, I had completed the first year of my studies. Then in the second year, that's when now he was, bringing up the child issue. I hadn't yet completed my master's, and that is how we decided, okay, we are going to go ahead and plan for baby number two. So whilst I was up with my baby, December, he was just like, he was less, he was almost like 6 months. That's when I felt that, invitation to say, no, you just go ahead and resign. I didn't even fight it. And for years, like, for months, I had been fighting that feeling of resign. No, I can't leave. I can't, because I really, really loved my boss. And she was such a kind, like, she's a kind woman. Even up to now, she's a person that I'm very close to. She's like my mentor, she's like my sister. And I just felt like, when the company is going through all this and then I decide to leave, it will feel like a betrayal, because if it were me, I'd feel betrayed. But then, some things looked like they were opening up for the company. And at that point, when I felt that, leading in my spirit to say I should resign, I didn't even fight it. I just said, oh, I wrote the email. I said, listen, starting January, I'm not going to be part of the organization. I haven't yet found a job. So if you need me for specific tasks, like activities, I can still volunteer and you pay me based on the effort that I've put in. But I'm not going to be a full-time employee of the organization. I would like to try something different, And I sent it. She saw it in the morning. She called me. We had a very long chat. I told her, no, I'm not leaving you, Bill. I just want to try out something different. I feel like it's just, I need a new start. I've just gotten my master's degree and what. I explained to her, and she agreed. Then she informed one of the consultants that we were working with, and he called me. He said, "Nalu, have you found another job?" I said, "No." "But how come you're resigning?" I said, "No, I just felt that, I should resign." That was like weeks later. I just felt in my spirit that I should, release myself so that I can look for new opportunities. Then he said, "Oh, okay. There's this other work. It's almost like what you have been doing. So if you don't mind, I can give you the number, and you can go and see the person, and you do the interview. If they like you, they like you." Okay. That's how come I went. I went, I did the interview, they liked me, they told me to start. That was like mid-January. I was doing my 21 days of prayer and fasting. I had already completed my 3 days. Normally at the end of the year, like December, I fast for like 3 days, somewhere starting from like the 27th to 27, 28, 29, somewhere there. When there's not much activity happening, you know, that week, people don't know who they are, where they are going, what they are doing in their life. It's just that week of, you know, rest and confusion and, you know, relaxation and getting lost. So it's a good time to really fast. And I did that fast, and I started the fast with everybody else, the 21 days fast. So I started my work when I was in the middle of my 21 days fasting. I tell you, at the end of that, I had started, and out every day, it turned out that work, they were looking for receptionists. They were not even looking like for a business associate. I cried a little to my God. I said, Lord, again, this is where you're taking me back. But then that something just taught me, you know, be grateful. Be grateful. So every day that I would report for work at my desk, I'll just be so grateful. I'd say a prayer of gratitude, you know, I'll just bless my day and tell myself I'm going to give myself the best, you know, to a point where I was more educated or more qualified than some of the people in that organization that would ask me to make tea for them. I tell you, life will teach you humility. I would go, I make tea, you know, even just for guests, I would make tea, I would welcome them, I would answer the phone. I didn't even know how to do the phone thing properly because, you know, in that organization, I was like a receptionist for like, what, a month. So I didn't even know how to transfer calls, how to do what. I was just learning on the job, you know what I mean, you know, taking messages. Yeah. I learned in the second organization when they again put me at reception. Until eventually I got a breakthrough. And I'm going to continue in the next part, in the next episode, how that whole thing happened. For now, this is where I'm going to end with this episode. I look forward to finishing the story in the next one.